This is the very second episode or podcast of Radio Irlandaise, and I'm here with Eimear O'Sullivan and Kelly Ford. They have been kind enough to join me just before Christmas when it's crazy, everyone's running around the place, but the girls have done me a great favour by turning up and having a quick chat with me, because both of them are involved in very heavily in fashion. So I'm going to start, I suppose, with Eimear because she's the closest with me, because Eimear is kind of co-director of a fashion, of a, what do you call it?
Model agency. Yeah, indeed. So, lockdown started 7 years ago. Viv and I met, we were working in the Irish Examiner newspaper at the time. She was in finance and I was in sales. And they used to just grab the two of us. We were working for different opposing agencies in the city that have since closed down. And there was no agency at all that was doing anything cool and doing anything that mirrored what was happening in Europe. Everything in Ireland was very lovely ladies and very old-fashioned, and there was nobody kind of out there pushing boundaries. And we weren't getting a huge amount of work because there wasn't a very exciting industry at all in the country at the time. So people used kind of the marketing team and the Examiner used to come to our desk and say, oh, there's an All-Ireland on this weekend, two of you, pop on the jerseys out in Patrick Street.
Really?
We'll take a picture, little promo things for them. And as a result, then different boutiques would ring the Examiner and ask them for our contact to try and book us for stuff outside of work. So the day came when we actually realised, okay, we're going to have to make a real job of this. We decided to do a fashion show. It all started by the two of us deciding. One of our best friends, Niall O'Riordan, was heading. He was moving to London at the time, and he was a really seriously gifted fashion designer, and he was way ahead of his years. And we wanted to give him a send off, so he pulled loads of our he kind of pulled the main models in the city together, about six or seven of us, and we did a show in the Blue Angel, which was the top floor at the time in the Opera House. This was about 8 years ago now, I'd say. And I remember he literally cut and mastered clothes on us. He was so gifted, made the clothes right up to the night before we'd fittings with him, and it just brought us all together. And from different agencies, and we were like, oh, you know, like Liz McCarthy was there at the time. She has been on the cover of Vogue in Italy. Charlotte Ryan was modelling with us, and she's from Cork City, but she's living in Berlin. But she's modelled with Naomi Campbell, Kate Moss, Cindy Crawford. And for us all to be in one room, and that night, halfway through the show, we were backstage, and someone came in with a round of drinks and was like, you know, cheers to this actually happening in Cork, because nothing has ever happened like this before. Promoting local designers and local talent rather than the, you know, the shops and the big chains.
Standard thing.
Yeah. So at the time then we just decided, let's open an agency. You know, we need, there is a gap in the market for it. There's definitely a platform for it. And that night, backstage, the other models were like, look, you know, we all have other jobs now. But you and Viv, because of the hook with the paper, you should really try, and you could market this very well. And wouldn't you give it a go, you know, and open up your own agency? And we were like, oh, that's crazy. You know, we're only 22, 23 at the time. And it wasn't something that was ever on the cards, something we never thought. If you'd said it to me back then that I'd be doing what I'm doing now, I would have said, no, that's crazy. Yeah.
And you see, isn't that more exciting sometimes when you are passionate about something and then you kind of fall into it naturally?
It's very organic, yeah.
Because that's because you discovered, you kind of, you did discover Kelly, didn't you, really?
Yeah, totally.
Do you want to say, Kelly, like, can you remember the moment when Eimear, I know Eimear walked up to you.
Of course, yeah. So basically when I was about 15, I was in Funderland with two of my friends, and literally, you know, like in a tracksuit walking around Funderland, you know, doing whatever 15-year-olds do, like. And
looking at boys,
was approached by Eimear's fiance Timmy. He came running after me and he was like, excuse me, could you come back here a second? And and I was like, what's this now, like, who's he, why does he want me to come back? And he's like, oh, my girlfriend wants to talk to you. And I was like, all right. And like, I didn't really know, but then this like tall, leggy, blonde woman came approached me, and I was like, okay, I knew she meant business, like. And so like, Eimear was just explaining to me about lockdown and would I be interested in coming to a training day. So I was like, yeah, of course, like, I like instantly I got a really good vibe from her, and I went along to the training day, and yeah, like, I just loved it, and they signed me up then in the spot.
Obviously You have a great eye, because Kelly then went on to become one of the main finalists in Britain and Ireland's Next Top Model.
Yes.
Which proved that you were definitely had a good eye. So how did you get involved in that then?
It kind of just came up out of the blue, the opportunity. Like a girl I knew was going up as well. And I literally just heard about it Sunday night, and the audition was on a Monday morning. And
wow.
I'd no work, I was off work, I work in Topshop. And so I was like, feck it, I'll just go up with you, why not? I had no thought put into it.
Really?
Nothing. I wasn't prepared whatsoever. I went up,
Did you have a function the night before or something?
Yeah, I literally just rolled up, I didn't know what I was getting myself into, I didn't have a clue. And I went in anyway. We were brought in groups of four or five, and the guy that was auditioning us was really testing us, and I literally thought I messed up. I didn't think it was a good audition at all, because do you know when you're not kind of mentally prepared for something, a bit shaky.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I felt like out of the rest of the girls in the room, I wasn't kind of the most well spoken or the most confident or whatever. So I was I didn't expect to do this anyway today. So. That's that, whatever. And then I kept on getting callbacks, and I just couldn't believe it,
The filming, the whole thing, how long did the whole thing take, actually?
I was away for nearly the bones of 2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
Because 2 months isn't that long, really, but obviously it had a profound effect on you. But I suppose being on TV now, in fairness, and being scrutinised from top to tail, by these...
And waking up celebrities. With a camera on your face.
Yeah, it was tough going, right? But I definitely was a once in a lifetime opportunity. It was such a good experience.
Were you nervous in front of the camera, talking?
Very much so, yeah. That was probably one of the biggest things I found, it definitely affected my modelling and stuff, because I used to get really nervous just for the fact that there was constant cameras in your face, and I was oh my god, this is not just us in the room that's here for this event, it's thousands of people all over the world, and they kept on saying that to us. They're right, lads, you have to make this interesting now, this is going up to 70 different countries, and you're constantly being reminded of this. And I used to get quite shy a lot of the time, I think at the start in particular, and then as time went on, I got more into myself, I came out more of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I think you've just grown so much in the last year, and your confidence around other people, and your confidence in your ability. You don't doubt yourself anymore, which is amazing.
Would you recommend other people to do that now?
Definitely, yeah. Totally, yeah. It's amazing.
And in modelling, I think agents want to see you at your most natural. I think maybe it's just an Irish thing, but girls overthink it. Too much makeup, too much tan.
Okay.
Dressing up in mad outfits. It's the girls that go in the jeans and a plain t-shirt with no makeup and look their most natural are the ones where you see the real beauty.
So how do you know all this, Emer? Is this, have you just accumulated this knowledge over the years or what?
I'm 16. I started modelling 16 years ago myself, and how Viv and I learnt our trade is by being in it for, a good 10 years doing that ourselves. And we, from the agents, we're very grateful to all of the agencies that we've worked for in the past, because they have taught us what we do and we don't want to be as agents ourselves. And having been models, very much like Andrea Roach in Dublin, she's gone through it. So she now has an agency where her girls really respect her, because she knows how you'd like to be treated as a model. So Viv and I are the same. We said we'd never do a job or put a model into a job that we wouldn't do ourselves, and we have to keep that ethos.
Well, fair play to you, because actually that was one of the questions I had in my mind. Have you had what would be the most unusual or kind of way out request that you would have had for a model to do?
Good question.
Uh-huh.
We could write a book,
I'm only looking for one answer.
People always think it's the most glamorous job ever, and the changing conditions at some shows, they're horrendous.
Yeah.
And people are surprised that, we have... we have an accountability with our team, and we don't want to lose our gang. So if we don't look after them, as with any job, they'll move to another agency. So, sometimes at certain venues, we could be out the back of some shed or something, and you'd be changing out there and there's no privacy. And Viv and I will go to the proprietor and say, come on, we're actually not animals. These are human beings. And surely you want your company to look good as well, or your venue.
Do you give them a kind of list of requests of stuff that you want?
No. Every single job is different. So we have to listen to our clients. So as no two jobs are ever the same, And it's all a marketing exercise, and the priority for us is the client, because we want our business and our service to sell their product or their business or their brand or whatever. So we are very flexible around their needs. So in a situation where people, like in Ireland, people still aren't that experienced, like clients would book you to do this big show and a big event, and we just have to come, like, we've learned the things to throw in the car now and in the van, that we can bring them out, and instead of saying, guys, you've no screen, you've no this and that, we just have the
you
stuff
prepare.
Now.
So you did you think of any really unusual gig? Or you let, maybe you're not
that's
allowed to
for you, maybe.
But see, even if you didn't do the gig, even an unusual request, you know, you're like, and maybe, because, I mean, wasn't there one where you, I remember Emer said this before, Kelly, where you went to some yacht or something in London,
oh,
was
yeah.
it?
Yeah,
that was a cool request. Yeah.
Well, bar the Sheik trying to run away with and she was 16. Were you 16 at the time? We got a booking to model on Azimuth Yachts, like a very famous international brand of yachts. They were so beautiful, and we were flown over to
sorry, how did this happen now? How did it come about?
Through a client in Dublin who was an agent for a sailing brand of clothing.
Okay.
Slam, a really nice brand of sailing clothing, and they booked us, five of us, male and female models, to fly to London and to model their clothing at the London Boat Show on the yacht, and Il Divo were singing, and it was such a cool experience. And they flew us over. It was just, sure, you were 16. We were in our mid-20s.
Amazing,
it was just such a lovely booking to get. And afterwards, we went for dinner and went out, you know, and we went to this really, really cool venue in London. But I was conscious all the time that, oh my God, here I am. I'm in my 20s. I'm mad for road. But I have to pull back because I'm Kelly's guardian at the same time. The girl's only 16. So this chic, whatever way we looked, anyway, we're like, where's Kelly gone at one stage during the night? And there she was, this chic trying to buy her in the corner.
I did look up a small bit about both of you on the net before I met you, even though I know you and everything.
Uh-oh.
But I said, oh, I might find a cool picture here or something.
Oh, no.
I saw a picture of you, Emer, with Michael Flatley.
I remember that.
That was actually on our way to London we met him.
Yeah, we got a flight with him, and we met him in the airport, and he was lovely, actually, really great fun.
So how did you end up chatting?
We would talk to the wall, like.
He was seizing us up because we kept on laughing. Like, there was a big group of girls, and sure, like, when we're together, it's just mayhem. Like, it's just.
And then
the energy,
our flight was
so
delayed, and we were going to be late to the London Boat Show, and this was like the biggest booking lockdown had ever gotten. So we were freaking out at the terminal when we arrived in London, and he was there, and he was like, oh, I have a bus and this and that. We were like, okay, we're going to hang out with Michael Flatley.
Did you go with him?
No, we were picked up and we found our own way and everything in the end, but he was great crack.
I can't mention celebrities without mentioning Elle Macpherson. I mean, God, lads, what is she stunning in reality, or
she's so striking. Like, she's like 6 foot tall, and she's just a glamazon. Like, she's absolutely
all the time.
All the time. Yeah.
God, that's 24/7. Exhausting. I'd say
she's
but I think for her, like, it's just effortless. You know. She is every inch the supermodel. Like, you know.
Yeah, like you know, you've met a few celebrities and stuff in your line of work. Would I mean, you've kind of become a minor celebrity, hasn't she, Emer?
She is to me, anyway, definitely.
Because, yeah. I mean, do you find people even recognising you now in the street and going, hey, you're the girl from the telly? Do you get people saying, oh, recognise you or whatever?
Yeah, but
remember
like
the girl in Top Shop, tell her the story about the person in Top Shop.
Sir Crank.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, like, I suppose because they work in Top Shop, it's such a prime location, you know, like, for young girls who watch the show, they're the type of people that would be
the market,
exactly the market that would be like shopping Top Shop. So I suppose, like, when I first, because obviously when I finished filming the show, like, nobody knew about it here because it hadn't come out yet. It's all pre-recorded, so like, I just went back to work or whatever, and then when it came out, like, sure, I'd nearly forgotten about the whole thing. And hordes of young girls coming in, like, looking for pictures and photographs and stuff. But like, people in work just got the biggest laugh out of whatever. I'd be there, like, in the fitting room, like, you know, when they'd come in, like, it's just so funny. They'd be screaming and everything.
Really?
Crying. Like, it's after dying down a lot now, so it's grand.
They're like the new Elvis.
Do you think in school that fashion is given enough of credit?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Isn't that amazing?
Like, even when I started lockdown and left my quote-unquote job for life in the Irish Examiner, for a good, up until about 2 or 3 years ago, my parents would have, still when I'd call home for a cuppa, they'd get in there somewhere and say, when are you going back to your real job, you know? And I was like, wow. Well, I'm, you know, fashion is my thing and it will be for a long time, because it just wasn't seen as a credible industry to be in. And I think maybe, you know, unless you had, you were a doctor, a teacher, or you had a job in the bank, fashion was just something that was a silly trade.
But isn't it the same even with music as well? Definitely. And film and definitely. Stuff. I have a lot of friends in both of those.
I have to say, we're all, like, people in music, anyone in the arts, like actors, ourselves, even though we're all in it at different angles, we're probably the most broke people you come across, but the happiest, because we're staying true to ourselves, you know?
That is perfect, because that's exactly what the other girls said now, Sheila and Emma said, yeah. that they're so much happier.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a shame in school that that isn't encouraged.
It's not enough at all. Yeah. Yeah. Now, things are changing. We find some of the secondary schools, Book Viv and I, to do transition year workshops with girls and guys as well, where we bring down a fashion designer, a makeup artist, people who've worked in New York, in London, and we'll do maybe a day or two seminar with them where we do show them, guys, it's okay, I was really bad at maths, you know, yeah. but I was good at English and whatever, and just to tell them that it's okay, you know, there are other jobs out there, and we hope to hear from these people, some of these kids, we hope to hear from them in 5-10 years time, because they're our future with our business, and they're so we want to go and plant seeds with these kids as well, and they're always the ones that are the quietest in the room, that aren't academic or whatever.
Because that would have been a huge outlet for me when Emer did find me when I was 15, like, and I started off with lockdown, like, it was such a huge outlet for me, you know, like, I totally came to life, because it was a whole new world and I fitted in there, you know. It's like, this comes natural to me, I feel at home doing this kind of stuff, and as well, I had a really good art teacher, and I was kind of saying, oh yeah, like, I have to go on work experience, but I don't know where to go and stuff like that, and she's like, well, like, I know of this great place down in Mallow, it's a fashion college, why don't you just give them a ring, and she's encouraged me to give them a call and go down there, and I was like, yeah, I might do that, so... And so I got in touch with them, and she never told me that she actually used to go there as well, my art teacher, but she thought that that would turn me off. So then it ended up, she used to actually, I used to go down with her every Wednesday night, and like, we used to go together, like, but she was such a great, like, influence as well, like, because that also opened my whole love for fashion, you know, and I realised, oh, it's not just... Do you know, it's actually a real passion that I can do something with. Do you know, it's not just...
That's fantastic. And a lot of the time it's kind of thanks to one individual, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
sometimes these certain people really shape your life, you know.
Yeah, and they don't even really realise it, do they?
Yeah.
Most of the fashion designers here, that everyone, they finish college, they get in a plane and they go away.
Yeah.
Because it's not seen as a credible... Mm. It's a multi-billion dollar... Industry. Yet in Ireland it's frowned upon because it's, you know, that's tacky.
But isn't that so
there's
sad?
An artistic side to it, where we've the most, like, look, we've Philip Tracy, you know, we've got some of the
Joanne,
most
I heard Hines. That Joanne Hines been interviewed
today.
She did
Cork Fashion Week. She's amazing.
Did she do Cork Fashion Week?
Oh, we've had with Jennifer Rothwell, like, a lot of worldwide renowned designers, and we've bought them to Cork, and people would say, oh, who are they? And then I'd be in town maybe 6 months later and someone would say, I opened the Times, the London Times, and I saw this person, you know, I write about them or whatever. So there's so many talented people.
So what could be done to change that? I mean, could you ever envisage Ireland being like a hub for fashion?
Well, if you think of it, most of the fashion week cities across the world, they're not the capitals of those countries, you know, but they would be the more artistic side of it. There is a huge industry in Ireland to be tapped into in that side of things. I would worry about the population. I don't think the population is big enough for it to become a very lucrative industry. Mm. We certainly wouldn't be benefiting from that yet. But because it's something that we love working in, because the people are the most creative people we've come across, that it needs to work, you know. It has to be there and it can't not happen.
So what could there be anything put in place that would help support it more? Or
we have gone to different boards, you know, and sat in front of them, and like Viv and I won the Shell Young Entrepreneur of the Year, but there was us in the room 5 years ago with loads of tech companies, and it was the first time anyone in fashion had been acknowledged for that, providing that platform. It's a tough slog. Like, we have gone in front of the enterprise boards, and because we don't have anything to, like our business and our shop windows, our website, because we're promoting, our services as agents of people. So yeah. I don't have a shop window where I put all the models in every day and close up and close the door. And I don't have an export. You know, our girls are now starting to work abroad. There are agencies in Korea that are interested in our girls.
Wow.
And that's all the last 7 years has been about for us, is building up that our experience to be able to get our girls work abroad where it is lucrative, where there are further opportunities for them, and where they can be immersed in the serious side of the fashion industry.
On the catwalk, we'll say in Paris and Milan, what size would those girls be?
Tiny.
Oh, Valerie, like, it's just not, even though I'm an agent, it's not something I kind of stand over, because I always look at them and think, maybe it's because we're so close to our girls, but I look at them and I think, if that was my child, I would be traumatised, you know. They're waif. They are, it's bone. Like, there's...
But well, the thing is as well, a lot of those girls are like 13, 14 really European young girls. So they actually haven't developed yet.
That's kind of scary.
It is.
But it's just hard for like the older girls to come in, because how can you compare like with a girl who hasn't even developed yet? You know, that can do
And even, I mean... Like, I actually really like fashion TV and stuff.
Yeah.
But one thing that would is unusual is the way that models walk, you know. It's not, you will never walk down the street like that. Why is that walk? Has that been developed?
Why does a singer stand on the stage and just not, like, and just, why don't they just stand there and hold the mic and sing?
I love your answer.
You have to put a show on and it's performing. It's like acting. You... Like, that's the first thing when we hire a new model, or when we scout somebody with no experience, the walk is the most important thing. You can't, if someone has a funny trait in a walk, it's very hard to get rid of that. So they could be the most stunning girl you could ever come across, the best potential, and the walk could be seriously dodge, and you just have to leave it go. So the walk is the main thing, because... We're a computer generation where our posture has gone really bad. We sit on the couch watching telly for a long time every day. We don't get out and exercise as much. So our whole gait and our posture, like, that's a big thing for us. You know, the walk is exaggerated in... For the last about 5 or 6 years, the walk has been like, you really cross your legs and it's very dramatic. It's almost horse trot like.
Yeah.
But that's changed now, and it's very understated, and there's no more hands and hips. It's all very, I think it's kind
flowy.
It's very flowy, and I think it's this whole Kate Moss kind of thing of, I need to look like I don't even care.
I think, Kelly, you are like a chameleon. You remind me a little bit of Kate Moss, because I've seen so many of the photos that you've done. And it's like, is that Kelly? Because we open the local paper and then Kelly's there or Kelly's here. And even in the magazines and stuff. And because you're doing a lot of, a huge amount of work since the TV show, aren't you?
Yeah, well, you see, yeah, I am, thankfully. I've been lucky enough, I've been getting lots of work. But I went back to my job that I was working in Topshop before the show. Solely because, like, I hope to move to London in January.
Good
so
woman.
I just wanted to just, like, it's hard living in London, and it's, you know, it's going to be tough over there. So I know I need to save up loads of money. Like, so
yeah.
I handed in my notice yesterday.
And, well done.
Yeah, and I'm so proud sad. Of like, so I absolutely love all the gang in there, and they're such a creative team as well, actually. So, like, I've had such a great 2 years there. So in January I'm off.
Now is your time. You just have to do it, or you'd spend the rest of your life wondering. You know?
I really admire you for doing that.
I'm very nervous, but sure, like, I think it's time to kind of branch out, and I think if anything, the show's just given me the confidence to kind of step into that next phase in my life.
I'm impressed. And like you're just back from touring the UK, isn't it, with the can you explain what you were just doing?
We were working at the Clo Show Live in Birmingham, the NEC. So basically that's like a big massive like fashion festival that goes on for like 5 days, like almost a week. And so this is the first year that Britain Ireland's Next Top Model Live joined up with the Clo Show. So basically, like, we had our own, like, practically our own arena, and we had, like, our catwalk, and we did 8 fashion shows a day.
What?
And, yeah, it was so tough going, but I loved every minute of it. And in between the shows then, we had, like, a half an hour of meet and greets with the fans. So it was just...
The whole time, was it?
Yeah, like, we'd only 30 minutes break per day, but, like, we were literally buzzing. Like, it was the best experience of my life. Like, I loved
was
it.
Was that even as good an experience as being on the show?
Yeah, it was, because like this time, like, we weren't in competition, we were working, we were paid models working at this event. But like the clothes show, like, I never realised how big it is. Like, it's absolutely unbelievable. Like, but like, we weren't, like, there's loads of other things going on as well. It wasn't, we weren't the main focus, like, we were just a part of
lots of exhibitions and everything.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's loads of like different clothes stalls of independent designers, like up and coming, like, pop-up stores and stuff like that. And then there's like another main stage where there's like other professional models and dancers and like musicians and but like everyone that was involved, and we're all staying at the same hotel, so like I didn't even realize like that was going to be that big of a deal. And so the first day we arrived there anyway, and me and one of the girls, like, we got to our room and I was like, come on, we'll go down to the bar now for a drink. We went down, there was like Henry Holland and Grace Odor just chilling out.
No,
like,
way.
The amount of people we got to meet, I was just like,
oh my god.
Like, you would never get those opportunities here. Like
no. I just loved kind of being a part of it all, you know, just to
it's in be your around blood all kind these of thing. Kind of
creative people who are all kind of about the same thing. So like, I just soaked up every minute of it, and I loved like talking to people. Like, for our show, one of the main stylists used to work for Vogue, so like, I just wanted to hear everything like she'd say, you know.
And I remember you met, she really took a shine to you, Bip Ling.
Had a famous, would you explain who Bip Ling is? Yeah.
Oh, Bip Ling is a fashion blogger. Yeah, she's really cool.
She's really unusual style. I've seen her in the front row with different things.
Yeah, she's really, like, she's in the kind of it crowd, and
she's a really quirky style. Her blog is just brilliant as well. And
she's,
I think,
brilliant, yeah.
She kind of represents that new generation of these young kids who don't see fashion for what I would have known it for when I was a teenager, which was just clothes in a shop, you know, in an industry. They're more into the whole artistic side of it, and the styling and the creative aspect and the photography. And
blogging has become huge,
hasn't
it?
Huge. Yeah.
Like, do you even buy magazines anymore?
I actually don't.
I buy
much,
some of them.
Very much so into online, like, everything. I don't even watch TV anymore. Like, I'm always online.
And would your go-to sites for both of you mainly be fashion-related?
Pinterest. I adore Pinterest, where you can have your own pin boards and pin in different things that you like and take other people's pins. It's just a kind of online creative forum where you can just get brilliant ideas. Like, I planned my whole wedding off Pinterest. And also, I've gotten loads of ideas for outfits for, say, like, I'm not into glitzy glam dresses for balls and that. And I've gotten loads of ideas of making really quirky stuff from Pinterest.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, it's kind of opened up a whole new angle for me for the whole thing.
Because you're so busy, girls, with all this stuff, right? Do you have any time for other pastimes?
Well, for me, this is my hobby, and I don't think twice about it. It's all I want to do when I have spare time, and I don't have children. So as long as I have the time, and Viv is the same, as long as we can devote as much time as we can to it, we know that I just feel it, that there's something big coming, you know, that there is more for us to do. I can't explain it, but I just know that we are on the cusp of something really major, and we just have to get through the tough weeks of, you know, the kind of touting for business and that. And you know, I just feel it's around the corner, and Kelly has started the ball rolling for, you've really set the pace for young girls who kind of thought, sure, nothing ever would happen to somebody from Cork, you know, abroad in London or further afield.
Yeah, like, especially, like, what I found it so hard to grasp in the house was, like, here I am with all these girls from, like, you know, London and all these cool places in the UK. Like, I just felt like, here am I, this, like, country girl from like the middle of nowhere, like this farmer's daughter. Like, I just felt like, who am I to be here? I couldn't believe that, like, I was in this situation, you know.
And it's
kind of, I just couldn't believe it, like, you know?
And it's like something we were saying earlier before we were chatting for the interview, is like that we Irish have a habit of downplaying ourselves, isn't
totally.
It?
Totally.
And kind of going, oh, sure, you know.
Yeah.
It's only a little thing or whatever. Just to finish up, girls, I suppose. Nobody knows what the future holds for any of us, really, right? And I suppose, what would you hope for in the next couple of years? Or what projects would you love to... I know, Emer, you're getting married now. You're getting married over Christmas, so brilliant. But have you anything on the horizon or...
Yeah, like, the scene across the world is really big at the moment. And like I said before, we, with Kelly paving the way, I would just really love to for us to branch out outside of Ireland. I know it's going to happen, it's inevitable, but it's very frustrating when you're in that limbo period, you know, where you know you're just a stone's throw away from it. Yeah. I know it's only around the corner for us, 5 or 10 years, it's small in the scheme of things, but we really want to, our priority is to highlight and provide the platform for local Cork and Irish designers who aren't getting the accolade that they are getting in London and other places. They're not getting it here. So I'm sure once the recession is over, we hope to be very instrumental in driving, in helping them set up businesses, which we've already done with some of them from Cork Fashion Week. But we just want to grow that. And it's really getting abroad with the girls and hopefully getting a lockdown office outside of Ireland.
Yeah, that would be cool, wouldn't it? And Kelly, like...
So hopefully, in the new year, I'm hoping to move to London with actually Lisa, the other girl who did the show.
Brilliant.
We've like grown really close like from the experience, and I think as well out of it, it's very lucky that I met her and like we've become the best of friends. Like, wow. She's a very great person.
Cool.
So yeah, we're hoping to move to London in January, and I really want to get into this, like, the whole fashion industry. Like, I've always been interested in not just modelling. I want to do like loads of internships. Like, I really want to get into styling. I'd love to get like some experience at magazines, show that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'll continue modelling, but like that's where I want to go. Like, yeah.
Anything fashion related you want to?
Anything fashion related. Now, like, if I find out like it's not, you know, my heart's not in it, or if it's not for me, like then I always come back here, and like I could always go back to college as a mature student and study psychology or something.
Excellent.
So yeah, like, we'll see.
Super. Oh girls, that was so cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Iva.
I
got such a buzz out of listening to you, and
thank you so much.
And I hope you have a fantastic 2013. You have some exciting things to look forward to, don't you?
Yes, cool. So much.
Thanks, girls. Bye bye.
Thanks, Valerie.